You're listening to the After the Stork podcast, Infant and Toddler Sleep with Megan Robert, episode 12. In this episode, I'm going to be discussing those unfortunate car naps. You know the ones I'm talking about, the ones that throw off your child's next nap or bedtime. So in this episode, you're going to learn why those car naps throw off sleep, how to avoid them if possible, and some tips for what to do if you just have to embrace them. Welcome to the After the Stork podcast, Infant and Toddler Sleep with Megan Robert. That's me, creator and host. If you have an infant or toddler and sleep is a priority for your family, if you want to create healthy sleep habits and a strong and safe sleep foundation for your little one, if you desire a predictable schedule that permits time for things like self-care, date nights, and planned outings, if you need your bed back or want your child sleeping in their own sleep space and desire to follow safe sleep guidelines, if you crave an overall well-rested and thriving family, well, you've come to the right place. As an infant and toddler sleep consultant, I built this podcast to bring you all things infant and toddler sleep and sleep training so that you can have the confidence in making informed decisions that are best for your family when it comes to your child's sleep. Your child is worth it. Your family is worth it. And moms, dads, you are worth it. Now let's dive in. Hey there, Stork community. Welcome back to the podcast. And if you're new here, welcome for your first time. I've got a quick update for you before we dive into the topic of this episode. I will be releasing episodes now every 2 weeks rather than every week. So it'll be every other Thursday that an episode is released. I've never done podcasting until this After the Stork podcast, so I needed to test some stuff out. And I think every other week is going to be more manageable along with all the other stuff that I'm trying to do for our community. So if you are someone who finds these episodes valuable, make sure to subscribe so that you get notified when a new episode is published. And to help me reach more families in need of advice with sleep for their littles, you can help by rating this podcast, writing a review, and sharing the episodes. You have no idea how helpful this can be in order to reach more people. Now, time for the episode's topic, those dreaded car naps. You know what I'm talking about. Elephant in the room, in case you don't know, I don't have children of my own, but I have helped families and young children for quite a while now. And if you want to hear a more in-depth explanation of my background and history with working with families, you can go check out episode 1. But for the purpose of this episode, before I started working as an infant and toddler sleep consultant, I was a nanny. One family who I worked with had an infant and a preschooler. So the infant napped twice a day and the preschooler once a day. The preschooler went to preschool in the morning and was to be picked up about 11:30 a.m. So this meant that I would have to wake the infant from her nap by 11 a.m. if she had not woken on her own in order for us to drive to the preschool, which was about 15 to 20 minutes from their house, then drive them back home and feed the kids lunch, then get them down for the afternoon nap. One of the most difficult tasks with this family was keeping that preschooler awake on our drive home. He was so tired after a day of preschool, and I tried every trick in the book. Windows down, blast the AC, crank the music, ask questions about his day, distract him with things to look for outside of his window, provide toys or books, rent CDs that have stories or kids' songs from the library. But regardless of all that hard work, I often failed to keep him awake. And on those days when he would fall asleep in the car, well, I knew that nap time was not going to be easy. And I imagine that you are nodding your head right along with me, like, you're preaching to the choir. Well, today's topic is all about these unfortunate car naps. First, why do they throw off sleep? And second, what are some things to consider to avoid, and what can you do when you just have to embrace them? So first, the why. As I have mentioned time and time again, the areas to evaluate when sleep is off are the five areas of Ezra Plus, as mentioned in episode 3. In this particular situation, I'm going to focus on the S, which stands for schedule. having your child sleeping at the right times of day. You see, there are two major regulatory systems that affect sleep. One is the internal timing system, aka what you probably know as the circadian rhythms or biological clock. And the second one is homeostatic control mechanism, aka sleep pressure or sleep drive. Circadian rhythms explain why specific times of day are best for naps, especially because of the drowsy and alert rhythm. While there is a general time frame for each nap depends on the individual child. Sleep pressure is why we feel tired the longer that we are awake. Sleep pressure is one of my favorite topics regarding sleep because it is one that often brings that aha moment for parents. So when awake, a chemical called adenosine builds up in the brain. The more adenosine that builds up, the more tired the individual becomes. In other words, the longer that we are awake, the more tired we feel, thus an increased desire to sleep. When we sleep, the brain disposes of the adenosine, thus decreasing the sleep pressure. So let's talk about this in relation to your child. So like my experience mentioned at the beginning of this episode, I can only imagine you have experienced something similar, whether as a parent or as a child care provider. You're heading home from an outing, you're doing your best to get your child home for a nap in their bed. However, your child falls asleep within the last few minutes of your drive, which then causes you anxiety because you know that the chances of them taking a good nap is now shot. And your hour or two of quiet time, well, it's non-existent. I'm sure you feel me here. But why does that car nap ruin the next bout of sleep? You see, your child falling asleep for even 5 minutes has now depleted some of that adenosine buildup. And although some still exists, their sleep pressure has now decreased. They had a short cat nap, which kind of rejuvenated them, leaving them no longer tired enough to fall asleep. But you and I both know that they will be a hot mess within a short matter of time if a longer nap does not occur. Now, as I mentioned, there are two systems that make sleeping at the right time of day important: the circadian rhythm and sleep pressure. But these two factors affect sleep independently and do not affect one another. So the circadian rhythm will continue with its usual ups and downs for that drowsy and alert cycle, regardless of the amount of adenosine built up. And adenosine continues to build up when awake and to be depleted when asleep, regardless of where one is with their circadian rhythm. So basically, your child is going to still feel drowsy and tired at the time that they need to nap, but because their sleep pressure is lower, they have a harder time falling asleep. So, what are some tangible tips to actually deal with this? The best tip I can give you is, first, prioritize sleep for your child. You know, plan appointments, daycare or school pickups, when you go to the grocery store, when you meet with friends, whatever it is, plan those outings around your child's sleep. Don't plan them during the sleep or closer to when your child is falling asleep. Plan them around. So the best time for these things are either immediately after your child wakes so that you have enough time before the next bout of sleep, or I would suggest after the PM nap, so that you have the biggest window of time for the next bout of sleep. And if you have an infant who still needs a cat nap, that is fine. Have your child nap in the car for that nap. That nap is not as restorative as the first two naps of the day. So if you are going to have your child napping in the car for any specific nap, I personally would rather it be the last nap of the day if your child is on a 3 or more nap schedule. Second, Plan. If you are going out, get everything together during a nap or the day prior. Prepare everything that you're going to need. Pack bottles, snacks, lunch, anything to avoid needing to spend even more time once you get home if you happen to be running late before a time for sleep. And then leave immediately after your child wakes rather than waiting a little bit, hanging out at the house, and it getting closer to the end of their wake window. Along with that, give yourself some wiggle room for travel time. So if you are going somewhere, plan that traffic is going to happen. Plan that it's going to take you longer than the GPS says. Give yourself wiggle room so that if you are running late, it's not going to be running into nap time. And then, like I mentioned, when I was working with that one family, I provided toys or books or CDs or games that we could play with one another, you know, like finding a school bus or a yellow car, you know, whatever you can do to keep your kids occupied so that if they are getting closer to a time for sleep, you're able to distract them a little bit in order to get them home so that they fall asleep in their bed. Now, what happens if your child falls asleep in the car despite your best efforts? First, adjust your mindset. Create realistic expectations for yourself so that you're not setting yourself up for disappointment or more anxiety than necessary, because you know that if your child fell asleep in the car right before a time when they normally go to sleep, chances are it's going to be a rough time. So prepare yourself mentally. For example, when I worked with the family that I was talking about, during nap time, I would first do laundry. I knew that if nap time was going to be short or non-existent, chances were I was not going to get the laundry done that I had planned on. Either that, or I was going to have to do it while the kids were awake. So either laundry needed to be put on hold, maybe I would do it the next day, or I would just do it with the kids. But it's something where I had to readjust what I imagined the afternoon looking like, knowing that his nap might be cut short. Second, if your child falls asleep and you don't have to worry about anything else, I would suggest you just park your car. Find a place to park as soon as you can. Let your child sleep while in the car. The reason for this is because motion does not allow your child to get restorative sleep. After those newborn months, motion is not helpful. So by at least parking the car, you're allowing your child to get more restorative sleep. So this might also mean that you're right around the corner from home, and when you get home, you're going to park your car in the driveway. Now, you might be able to transition your child to their bed, but use your best judgment. For some kiddos, this works out really well. For others, it's almost always going to ruin the rest of the day. So use your best judgment. If you need to do some trial and error a few times, and then after doing a couple trial and error sessions, you know what works and what doesn't. Follow what works. One quick disclaimer here about sleep and car seats. First of all, sleep and car seats should not be routine according to the AAP Safe Sleep Guidelines. Second, it is encouraged to never leave your child in the car seat unless the car seat is installed properly in a vehicle. So if you are going to need to take your child inside, transition them out of the car seat into the crib or bed. And the last tip, if your child falls asleep in the car despite your best efforts and naps are thrown off, plan for an early bedtime. Anytime your child has a day where it doesn't go well for sleep, or even if you just pay attention to their temperament between the hours of 4 and 5, if they are a hot mess, if they are just falling down, if they're cranky, clingy, whiny, whatever the case may be, those are all signs that your child might need an earlier bedtime. So if a car nap happened and it threw off a nap, chances are your child is going to benefit from that earlier bedtime. So plan for that. Quick recap of some of my tips. First, prioritize sleep for your child to avoid car naps as best you can. Second, plan, again, in order to avoid car naps as best you can. And if your child happens to fall asleep in the car, then park the car in order to let them finish their nap. Create realistic expectations for yourself. Readjust that mindset of what the rest of the day is going to look like. And plan for an earlier bedtime. If you are someone that tries your best to avoid those car naps, make sure to show yourself some grace on the days when it doesn't work out. Sometimes it's unavoidable. Use this understanding of sleep pressure to allow yourself to have a realistic mindset. I don't know about you, but when I understand the why, I am able to reframe my mindset, which helps me to alleviate anxiety. Of course, it won't be gone completely because there is still that hope of getting some freaking alone time, but hopefully understanding the why diminishes the anxiety and disappointment just a bit. And if you are someone who is constantly having your child napping on the go, I would encourage you to consider rearranging your outings to preserve sleep as often as possible in order to avoid a snowball effect of an overtired child. The timing of sleep is very important. Do your best to preserve nap time so that they occur at the right times of day instead of short cat naps here and there while out on the go. We have to be our child's timekeeper. The best time for your child to sleep is when the circadian rhythm is dipping and when enough sleep pressure is built up to cause your child to have an urgency to sleep. These two go hand in hand when it comes to whether or not your child will have an easy time falling asleep for a nap time or bedtime and an easier time staying asleep and lengthening those naps. Now, keep in mind that while the schedule is important, there are also other factors that contribute to your child's sleep. So make sure to check out episode 3 of the podcast if you have not done so already. And if your child is struggling with sleep regardless of a car nap, and you're feeling overwhelmed with all of the information that is out there, or you're just too tired to figure it out on your own, reach out to me. We can discuss your situation and evaluate where your child needs support in order to improve sleep altogether. You can book a 15-minute discovery session with me at afterthestorksleep.com/book-online. That's afterthestorksleep.com/book-online. I will also include that link in the show notes. I hope you all have a lovely rest of your day, and remember that your child is worth it, your family is worth it, and you are worth it. Thanks for tuning in to the After the Stork podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast. By doing all of those things, you can help me to reach more families in need of guidance with their little one's sleep. And if you don't already, follow me on Facebook and Instagram using the handle afterthestork.megan. That's afterthestork.megan. And if you desire support with your little one's sleep journey, you can reach out to me directly on either one of those platforms. I hope to see you there.